that my family, we want to minister over you. So for that, I know Brandon has got something in his heart. So come on, Brandon, why don't you jump up here and just share that. Thanks so much for loving my family, too, by the way. I appreciate that.
Thank you, guys. Man, I woke up this morning with just like just an excitement. I was just excited this morning just because I get the opportunity to serve Jesus. Like, he is so good, isn't he? He's so big. He's so awesome. And I jumped out of bed and I was jumping up and down listening to some worship music. I'm thankful I get the opportunity to even serve and love on Jesus. You know, that I'm so thankful that Jesus even gave me an opportunity to serve him and worship him. And when I look at serving Jesus that way, I'm willing to pay any price. He's worth any cost. I'll lay my life down for Jesus, you know. I want to share some things that God kind of put in my heart. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, if you guys could go there. How many know we serve a living God? A couple weeks ago when I was in India, I was in Chennai, and my brother back there is from Chennai. Holla! All right, when we were there, we put on a healing crusade, and we worked with the Bible school there. But our message was simply this. They over there, they serve about 3 million gods, I believe. That's what somebody told us, majority Hindu. But the difference that separates their gods and our God is power. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 here it says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And if you go to chapter 4, verse 20, one of my favorite verses, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." When we went there, we called up people who needed healing in their bodies. We got a word that God wanted to heal some deaf ears. And so there was about 15 people who came up and they lined up. And we were praying for them that God would open up their ears and that they would hear. And after we were done praying, every single one of those people got healed. And, you know, the people in the crowd who didn't believe in God looked at that and said, "Man, if their God can do that, I know my God can't do that." And so when you see the power, the raw power of God, you can only stop and believe. You know, and that's a difference that separates Christianity from every other religion. We serve a living God who is alive today, and he operates with power. And, you know, we're supposed to carry that power out everywhere we go, in the marketplace, our workplace. You know, in Daniel 11:32, it says, "Them that know their God shall carry out great exploits." That's kind of, I just summarized it. But we're supposed to carry out great exploits. You know, and great exploits, when I think great exploits, I think of signs and wonders and healings and just a power demonstration of God. And so I really challenge you after this conference, and when you're back home and we're not all together in this kind of setting, We can carry the power of God. How many of you guys know that? Now we each have the anointing and we each have the giftings to do that. And so when we're telling people about Jesus, let's just not give them words. Anybody can give another person a feel good message. "Hey, there's a God who loves you. You know, he died for you and he rose again." You know, let's show them some power. You know, let's show them something that's going to change them forever. Because how many of you know when we experience the power of God, we're changed forever? And so let me pray over you guys. Lord, I pray that we would experience your power today. Jesus, we ask for the manifest presence today. Lord, I thank you, God, that we don't simply just want a feel-good message. God, we want to feel you today. God, we want to experience your power. God, I pray that we would just experience, God, just a new fire today. God, that we would be released from this double portion conference, God. And when we go back to our workplace, God, in our homes, God, I pray that we would walk in power. God, we would carry out great exploits. Jesus, I pray that you'd use us like you never have before. God, I know that I've been changed, God, and I pray, God, that if anyone hasn't been changed, God, that they would today. God, they wouldn't leave this conference the same person. Lord, I pray that you'd show yourself that much more real to each and every one of us. And we love you, God, and we thank you. Amen.
Praise God. You got a Bible? If you'd open up your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You know, I was thinking about what Brandon shared, and he just said, man, he had something, and I didn't know what he was going to share. You know, if I could sum up what Brandon said, what Brandon is saying is you're called to a life of biblical proportions. Sometimes we just think that, you know, I'm just on the planet and I'm just going to work, you know, make a good living and then one day get married if you're not already married and have some kids and, you know, kind of just be a faithful Christian. And that is great, by the way. And just kind of one day, you know, pull my spread over myself and pass and, you know, take the deep breath and I'm gone. I'm with God. But I really believe that your appearance on planet Earth is strategic because we serve a God of purpose. Your existence is proof your generation needs something your life contains, because God wouldn't allow us to be here if that was not the case. And so I think one of the greatest regrets at the end of the life is to know you didn't empty the tank. And what God is really saying, I think with a double portion comes double responsibility. And I want to say that in a real loving way, that when you get more from God, more is going to be required of you. To whom much is given, much is required. And so from this point on, I think, and you know, Pastor Sam used the term earlier, there's a paradigm shift. I think we have to change our thinking. I said this one time when I was, it just kind of something that came out of me. I said, if you think like a lost person, you're going to think, if you think like a lost person, you're going to get lost person results. But when you begin to think like the mind of Christ and think with a redeemed mentality, a kingdom mentality, you're going to get kingdom results. So I believe already in this weekend, God is beginning to shift the way we begin to think. We're going to see God as a bigger God. We're going to begin, or the biggest, the most high. In other words, God grew. Maybe some of us saw God like this. And after this weekend, we see God like that. And so I want to talk to you about that. Luke 9, verse 1. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bags. I was just talking to my wife, like, was I dreaming or did I get up there and not see words on my Bible before, man? Lord, heal my eyes, heal my eyes. All right. Don't take your stuff with you, okay? Don't take staffs, nor bags, nor bread, nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. It's interesting that Jesus called the disciples together, and he gave them power and authority. Now, initially to them, what did that look like? Did Jesus hand them a big old brown paper supermarket bag and it had power on it and the other one had authority and he gave it to each of them like you give a little sack lunch to kids, you know, when they're going to go on a field trip or something? Well, what did it look like? How did they know they had that? If God gave them this thing called power and authority in that moment, did they go, ooh, man, I just feel different now? Or was it something that they would not know what they had until they stepped out to minister, and in that moment, they would realize, thinking back, Jesus gave us power and authority. How do you know that you've got more power? How do you know that you walk in the authority of God? Initially, it doesn't come per se tangibly. There may be a feel, a manifestation, a sense. You may feel overwhelmed by the presence of God. You may shake. You may cry. You could, you know, sit down and be overwhelmed by the power of God, or lay down and be overwhelmed. But sometimes it can come without any fanfare. That you went from one level of authority and power to another level of authority and power. Jesus gave you that, but the only way to find out is to do what Jesus told them to do. He says, okay, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And he goes on to tell them, and I thought this was interesting, he said, go empty-handed. I don't want you to think that you got other apparatus or other tools or other things. What I'm calling you to do, you don't feel like you have to be equipped in any other way. All you need is the authority and power I've given you. And the way you're going to know you have it is I'm sending you. And if you respond to this sent thing, you're going to see the manifestation. You're going to know I walk in power. I walk in authority. I have a friend of mine that did campus ministry at the University of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. He and I gave our life to Jesus Christ virtually about the same time. We went into campus ministry virtually about the same time. So he invited me to come preach open air at the University of Arizona. I had preached open air on my campus, And so there's a degree of familiarity. You know, I kind of knew the students a little bit, or at least see them. They knew who I was. And so I would stand up, and our message was never like yelling at kids and telling them you're a filthy, rotten brood of sinners. Those dudes would come on our campuses, and I would, with tears in my eyes, beg them to leave. That's not the message of Jesus Christ. I would plead with our students as I stood up there. I would plead with them about the reality of the destiny and the purpose that God has on their life. There's a glory, yes, you've fallen short of, and I want to prophesy to you and decree to you the glory that you've fallen short of. And yes, you do have to repent. Yes, you do have to step out of darkness in the light. But to call them that, that was not my style. I just want you to know when we go open air, we don't do that. So he invited me, and I said, okay, Scott, cool, man. And he says, we got in our budget. We'll fly you down, man. Just come on through. So I flew, and I wasn't like traveling a lot. This would be the first time I would ever preach open air. And so when you go open air, it's cool to preach to you guys, because you guys are with me, right? I can look at your face. You're smiling. You got notes out. You want to hear what I have to say. But a lot of times when I preach open air, they're angry college students that don't want to hear the gospel, right? I mean, it's kind of neat to go into other nations where people are really hungry. But a lot of times in America, it's kind of like that burned over, like, hey, man, I don't want any more of that stuff. You're a right-wing, fundamental, conservative, you know, whatever. You know, they label you. And so I've had stuff yelled at me. I've had a couple things thrown at me, not too much because of probably my approach. I had a girl flash me. That's a true story. I just looked over her and just kept preaching, trying not to be distracted by the scenery, you know. I've had drunk people come up. I've had people stand right in front of me while I was preaching open air, demonized, and literally manifest the devil. I was at the University of California, Berkeley. I had a little karaoke. I would have loved to have had booming speakers like this, right? Because when you're open air, whoever has the volume has the power, right? My little Mr. Mike, you know, karaoke machine was so pathetic that this demonized dude was yelling at me louder than I could project on a microphone. It was bad, but God turned the situation around, and he stormed off. So I got off the airport. I got my little Raiders duffel bag. I didn't have a Samsonite, no Toomey, no, you know, American Tourister, no kind of nice bag. I had a little Raider duffel bag. I come out, throw it in the back of his truck. And when I'm sitting there with Scott, I say, hey, Scott, what's going on, man? And Scott threw a newspaper on my lap. It was his campus newspaper. Had a picture of a dude on there, and it said underneath it, I'll tell you about the picture in a moment, it said 666 Israel. And this guy looked real crazy. Underneath it, he took out a full-page ad in the campus university newspaper. He was the Antichrist. So he was a self-proclaimed Antichrist. That's why the name 666 Israel. He challenged any Christian, but he didn't say it like that. He says, I challenge any weak, pathetic excuse for a human being who would serve that decaying corpse that hung upon a tree. That would be you serving Jesus in very blasphemous and mocking terms. He says, I challenge you to meet me Monday on campus, and I'm going to prove to you your God is fake and I'm the real God. Now, I'm looking at this thing, and he looked like the picture. You guys know who Charlton Heston is? It played in the original Ten Commandments. He's recently passed. The guy looked like Ten Commandments. He looked like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments on crack. That's what he looked like to me, all right? The guy looked... You know, if apocalyptic was a look, he had the apocalyptic look. That was his whole vibe, right? And he challenged. And man, as he challenged and he said those things about Jesus, man, the first thing I thought in my mind, I said, and it was a Monday. I said, Scott, man, we got to get on our campus right now, because he called anybody to come see him at noon. I said, man, we need to go out there and show him whose God is real, man. Who does this loudmouth, wimpy Antichrist think he is anyway? I was starting to get heated up. You could kind of tell that, right? I didn't know if it was inner court or inner city, but something was coming out of me in that moment. I was venting, right? Scott said, hey, man, hold your horses, Oz. This newspaper is a week old. This was last week. I just wanted you to see it. And I said, hey, Scott, what did you do, man? Because Scott is radical. I said, what did you do? First, here's what he explained to me. He says, Mondays, this guy, 66 Israel, had gone into different churches and disrupt churches in Tucson, Arizona. And he called this so people in the community and students could come out, because he wanted to blaspheme out in the middle of campus and try to make Christianity seem in a small light and make whatever he stood for, Antichrist is what he stood for. And by the way, as soon as I saw the paper, I knew he was not the Antichrist. I think the real Antichrist would be a little more subtle than taking out a newspaper ad on a college campus saying, I am the Antichrist. I don't think so. You're a wannabe poser if I ever seen one, buddy. All right. So Scott said Monday was a day that typically campus groups bring out their tables. We would bring out tables and we'd have tracts and Bibles, and it was kind of a Christian visibility day. And he chose that day to come out to kind of challenge him. And Scott said when he went out that day, because he did go out, he says none of the other Christian groups had their table out. They read the newspaper and they didn't show up. And man, I'm serious. I mean, it may seem like it's a little emotional. That broke my heart. That the Spirit-filled or, you know, wing of the body of Christ on a day when you have an opportunity to give a light of man, of Jesus Christ, and you could give hope for whom you believed that Jesus bought you and purchased you. And on a day when an Antichrist wannabe calls you out, that you don't have enough faith and allegiance to the cause of Christ, that when it is on you to let your light shine, you would not let your light shine. That is foreign to me. And I'm going to say that smiling, man. I'm trying to kind of get out and kind of get clear again. That is foreign to me. That Jesus Christ could die on a cross for me. And when he needed a witness from me, that my testimony would be on that day, well, Lord, it was just too much, man. You know, that dude looked a little weird and that thing, man, he was calling, man, I don't know what he might do to me. And I go, man, I never want to miss a witness when there's an opportunity to stand for God. So I said, Scott, what'd you do? He said, I showed up. I said, all right, my boy, Scott. He said, I brought a young convert with me. I love people that just give their life to the Lord because they read the Bible and they believe it still. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? He read that part in the Bible that you'll cast out devils. He says, Scott, let's go out there and cast the devil out this man, man, you know. So they show up. This guy, 6'6 Israel, stands up. He's got like a little mound that he's standing on. He grabbed three kids. I don't know if it's his. He looked like he was old enough to be his grandkids. He put three kids on fake crosses, kind of tied them up on the cross and put fake blood on them as to mock the crucifixion. He stands up and he just begins to speak blasphemy. There's college students, civic types. He's going off. And I want to make a long thing short. He calls for that point in time. Is there any Christians that have read my challenge and would come here today? Because it's now time to prove your God is fake. Your God is dead and I'm the real God. And Scott lifts his hand up. Now, you got to understand, this Scott would joke. I would never joke about this Scott, but he totally, somewhere along the line, he lost a digit in his finger. So he'll mess around with little kids and play like he's digging in his nose. And they don't know. They think, oh, that whole finger went in your nose, you know. So Scott, he's got these thick glasses, right? But, I mean, that's like Clark Kent, because that dude is Superman. No, don't let the outside exterior fool you. He will mess darkness up, right? He lifts up his hand. And he said, Mr. Six, he says, Israel, you wanted a challenge. I'm here to give you that challenge. He says, but it's not about me against you. It's about the God I serve against the God you serve. And my God spoke to me and says, I'm going to take you around this building. And when we get around this building, this is what he said, open air. Everybody listening, right? I mean, there's hundreds of people gathered. He says, the Lord spoke to me. And he says, I'm going to take you around this building and I'm going to cast the devil out of you. Now, you would think the guy would start yelling back at him. No, you won't. You won't cast the devil. Somewhere along the line, and this is what's so important about hearing the voice of God. When you speak what God is speaking to you, when you release what God spoke, let's say my brother right here, and I say, God loves you. He can feel blessed by that term, God loves me. But if it's in that moment, God is breathing on it. He's speaking to me. And I say prophetically, God is telling me he loves you. When you speak what God is speaking, not only are words expressed, but the atmosphere and environment in which God spoke it is also released in that moment. So God, when it's prophetic, doesn't just convey words. He conveys his spirit in addition. So I believe that when Scott said what God told him to say, this is prophetic evangelism, by the way. When God said what God told him to say, that fear of the Lord that came in his quiet time was released on this guy. And this guy starts saying, I'm not going with you around this building. I don't know what you're going to do with me. And the guy grabs his kids and literally runs off the campus. Here's the dude, took the full page ad out, telling any Christian to come meet him. One Christian says, I'm going to cast the devil out of you. And he grabs his kids and goes running. How did Scott know that he had power? How did Scott know he had authority? Who's to say that the other Christians that didn't show up that day, some of them might have even had greater power and greater authority? They'll never know that, because when the opportunity came for their faith to hit the ground running, they avoided the ground altogether. Double portion says something to me about how God wants to use you when you and I return back to whatever our marketplace post. When I say marketplace post, it's where you're working, where you're attending school, the circle you run with, those people that don't know the Lord. The only way you're going to know that you've grown double in a double portion authority and power is in when the child. Here's how Christ-likeness, right? Let me rephrase that. How do you measure, Sean, how spiritual someone is? This biblically, I believe you do it. How Christ-like they are, write that down. Christ-likeness, to me, is the number one indicator of spirituality, right? Are you like Christ? Do you have the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. Did I get them all? I think so. That's nine of them. All right. Second of all is humility. The measure of true spirituality is humility. People that have pride. Pride was the sin that turned angels into devils. So that's obviously not good spirituality. But the third thing, this may shock you. Christ-likeness, this is my list as a result of reading scripture and studying. This is my list of how do you measure spirituality. Number one, Christ-likeness. Number two, humility. Now get ready for number three. How much resistance it takes to get you discouraged. I find to me the most spiritual people I know that, man, they don't get spiritually discouraged. They don't shut down and deactivate because they meet with opposition. They met a wall. They met disappointment. They met something that didn't work out the way they want to. They got extra warfare in their life. Spirituality to me is measured by people in terms of how much resistance does it take to get you discouraged. I've seen some of the most spiritual people that I know that have fought through themselves, diseases in their family. They have fought through disappointments. They fought through believing that it was something that God told them to do. They did it, and it didn't go over the way they thought it would go over. It seemed like it sunk. They got people that literally, maybe in some instances, you guys have a blessed church. You guys love each other. Some people have gone to certain churches where maybe they've had bad experiences with Christians that should have had their back, but instead stabbed their back. And I see they still got the love of God. They're not bitter. They're still going after God. They're still contending for revival. And I say, God, that is a measure of spirituality. I want what they got. I want a spirituality that the devil can't give me a little hangnail and I'm going to quit and wonder whether or not God still loves me or is with me today. That may be an exaggeration. But we need a breed of Christians in this part of the world and wherever it is that you're from. We need believers that will not be discouraged. They will not question what it is, because this is the deal. God purposely allows resistance in our life, because some of what we call resistance is really conditioning for greater exploits. Let me say that again. Some of what we call resistance, you know what I mean by resistance? A little bit of like somebody doesn't want to get saved, you witness to. People are maybe at work mocking your faith, or people kind of look down at you a little bit. Or maybe you're in an environment, a work environment, where your boss just is like Antichrist, you know, not the Antichrist, but just feels like it's their job to persecute you. Or maybe you just feel like you miss out on things. All these things, let me tell you, God wants to use them. I didn't say God puts calamity on people. I didn't say God put diseases on people. I'm saying that God can use resistance as conditioning. A marathon runner runs and trains differently than a weekend jogger, right? Weekend jogger just goes around the block, right? Ooh, man, I'm tired. Somebody give me a smoothie with some peanut butter in it. You know, that's what a weekend jogger does, right? But a marathon runner, they're training. They're getting up early. They're running beaches. They're running long distances because they got to come back and run in that race. I'm telling you, God has you on a different training table. And so you got to understand. Now, let me go back to Scott. Scott stood against that Antichrist dude, right? That was a level of resistance. Fast forward that to about 3 years ago. My friend Scott, 3 years ago, is in a post office in Springfield, Missouri. He's got several letters. He's going to mail it. He's waiting in line. U.S. post office is notorious for you have to wait in line if you need to mail something, right? And I guess he had to get a stamp so he couldn't just drop it in a little slot. So he's there, and they might have been extra weight or something. He's there, and two people in front of him, a guy grabs his heart. And all of a sudden, he's staggering, collapses on the ground. And right as Scott is seeing this guy starts turning colors, like blue, you know, different colors. people run over, somebody run up to him and they say he's not breathing. There's no heart rate. And somebody's trying to give him mouth to mouth. The guy is not breathing. There's no pulse. Now, let me tell you this. If you have no heart rate, you're not breathing, you're either dead or dying. Can we safely say that? Come on, just lift your hand. If you're not breathing and you don't have a heart, you're either dead or dying. So Scott is right here in line. True story. I told you Smith Wigglesworth. Somebody said, well, that happened in the 1940s. I'm telling you something that happened in the new millennium. My friend Scott. He's a campus pastor. He now goes overseas, but he's not on Christian television. He doesn't have a book out. He doesn't have a quote-unquote international ministry, but he does have international influence because of this thing, obedience. Somebody say obedience. Your biggest test, should you take it, sound like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, is it's one thing to lift our hands and praise God right here, but my form of worship in the marketplace is not me lifting hands and singing songs amongst other people that believe like me. That may be my form of worship when I'm at SP. My form of worship when I'm out there that I'm still worshiping God is that I let my light shine no matter what. That I'm an influencer for the kingdom. That I'm trying to gather and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, heal the sick, cast out devils. That's all part of the message, as Brandon was talking about. And when he said, God loves you, doesn't want to plan for your life, it's not that those words aren't true. He wasn't mocking the words. He's saying that so many Christians, in the eyes of the world, they've reduced our message to a philosophy, and it's the power of God that elevates what to them appears like a philosophy to life truth. And we need the power of God on our message, so it's not just words, not wise words, we're a demonstration of power. So you guys still with me, right? So Scott has this dude die in front of him. The Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, Scott, I want you to raise that dude from the dead. Now stop. Scott is about my age, right? It's hard to say, but I'm a middle-aged man at this stage. But praise God. We'll go on. We'll go on. I'll make it. I'll be okay. You're just at the post office. Person grabs their heart, falls on the ground, and you hear the still small voice. You're in the marketplace. You're not at church. They didn't come and say, you know, I got a sore shoulder, brother. Can you just pray for my shoulder at church? Praise God, brother. Lord, heal that sore shoulder. Make it good. No, you're in the marketplace where people around you are not believing, and a dude dies, and God says, I want you to raise him from the dead. So here's what Scott did. He's holding his letters. Lord, I just pray, Jesus, you just help that brother. Lord, let him get saved. Lord, let him come back to life. Bless him in Jesus' name. I don't know if the exec said it like that, but he told me the first time he just whispered a prayer. Nothing happened. And the Holy Spirit says, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to raise him from the dead. So he kind of scoots a little closer to the dead guy. He lets his shoe, the back of the front part of his shoe, touch the heel of that dude. Lord, I just say in Jesus' name, just raise him from the dead right now. We rebuke you, spirit of death. You must leave right now in this moment. Nothing happens. I really believe that if we don't obey God fully, the devil doesn't have to obey you fully. If you're out in the marketplace and God tells you to do something, if you don't obey God completely, the devil doesn't have to obey us completely. And so I believe our authority is based on being rightly related to the authority of God. And you got to be current in your obedience. Somebody say current. I love Scott. I love my brother Scott, man. I got a great affinity. I mean, it's the same thing I feel for Pastor Sam. This guy gets on one knee at a U.S. post office in Springfield, Missouri, right? He puts his hands on this guy's chest, man. He's an older guy, right? He's looking around, man, and he just says, hey, what I got to lose? I got to go for it. He says, in the name of Jesus, I speak life. I command you right now to come back. And when he said it, the guy goes, and the man sits up. Scott is just there with him. He said, hey, man. And the guy said, man, what happened? And Scott said, man, you just died, but Jesus Christ came, raised you from the dead. God bless you, brother. We'll see you later. Do you guys get to show heroes here? Did you guys get that? People were looking at Scott like he was the self-regenerating cheerleader on Heroes. Like, quickly, let me submit something to you. How do you know that you have power and you have authority? I believe that many people, honestly, okay, let's just be real. Don't try to be religious and kind of, oh, no, that's not for me. No, how many of you would like to see the dead raised in Jesus' name? How would you like to raise? Okay, now let me submit to you. I do too. What is the training table to see people raised from the dead? What's the school? What school do you go to raise the dead? Here's what I submit to you. I believe that on a day when no other Christians would stand against a wannabe antichrist. Level 2, resistance. Maybe level 3, resistance. And he stood and was obedient to God. It put him in position where God could entrust him to stand against a spirit of death. Level 10, the Bible says the last enemy is death. It allowed him to stand and overcome at level 10. You have to exercise your authority to give this level of a witness in order to be in position to give this level of a witness. And the Lord spoke to me through Scott's life. He never put those two stories together. I did because I know him and have seen his life. And I felt like as I was praying on it one day and asking God, I want to see greater miracles, the Lord spoke to me that because Scott was obedient, you know the principle. If you're obedient and faithful in what is small, you'll be given much. That the training for raising the dead is being able to be a witness when others would run. If you can be that witness here, you're in the training process. You're in the school for raising the dead. How many of you just wave and you kind of got that? Come on, just wave. I need you to know. All right, that saved us 20 minutes. Now we're almost done. Come on, man. Here is the three things I want to tell you. Number one, write these down. You know I like to give you three things. God is not content, and I'll repeat this, that the words of men and women, let me rephrase that. God is not content to allow the words of men and women to shape their beliefs out there. Let me say it again. God is not content to allow the words of men and women to shape their beliefs. And what I mean by that is words alone. Because the gospel didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, that your faith would not rest upon men's words, but rather on the power of God. In other words, if we don't experience the power of God, our foundation for our faith is faulty. Because otherwise, it's based on wisdom in men. Some of you, and it seems like I keep hitting this. Some of you are new and you've seen some things that have blown you away. But truth be told, be grateful you've experienced some things in God that have blown you away. That is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Because again, Paul said, my gospel didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words. Some people can tolerate a faith if all folks do is talk about it. Because they're not threatened. They're not pushed beyond something that they cannot control. But Paul says, my message didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power so that your faith would not rest upon the wisdom of men, but rather on the power of God. Because the wisdom of men can fluctuate. If I win you with an argument, I can lose you to a greater argument. But if the power of God shows up, that's what Brandon was saying, all of a sudden you go, wait a second, man, that must be God. I've heard that. If I've heard that phrase once, I've heard it many times. Somebody said, that must, someone say it with me, that must be God. That was what the disciples were sent out to do. And I want to stop and tell you, I believe that we're all commissioned to do that. Number two, the second point I want to bring up real quick. Every Christian's role is to make visible the gospel of an invisible God. Every Christian's role is to make visible the gospel of an invisible God. That's every Christian's role. That's not just the evangelist. That's not just Billy Graham. That's not just Reinhard Bonnke. That's not just Pastor David Youngie Cho. That's not just Pastor Sam. Amen. That is all of our jobs, is that we're to make visible the gospel of an invisible God. And then let me give you the final thing. And first let me read a scripture because this will make more sense. It says, and whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Let me just stop and say, and whomever will not receive you. Come on, look at that again. And whoever will not receive you. Third point I want to make is you must decide that revival, life, and miracles. I'm going to say it slow, but I'm going to say it. I'll say it all the way through and come back. You must decide that revival, life, and miracles will come through you even if you hit a snag. Let me say that again. You must decide that revival, life, I'm kind of putting those two words together, and miracles will flow through you even if you hit a snag. He's saying you're going to go places, but even if they don't receive you. In other words, don't receive you could be interpreted many ways. One guy not receiving could be spitting on me and, man, trying to punch me. Another person just walking away, man, get out of here with this. I don't want to hear that stuff. Or some person from that point on, they're nodding their head, but they look at me differently from that point on. Not receiving you could be measured at different levels. But what I believe the point that comes out, and Jesus is trying to make, is you got to determine, guys, this is going to happen. You got to shake off the dust. In other words, you have to determine that revival, life, and miracles are going to flow through you even when you hit a snag. You're going to hit a snag. Some of you are going to get some warfare. That's not like, oh, Sean, you're being negative. No, no, that's reality. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. Hello? So that's Jesus saying that. You're going to run up. You're going to have warfare. The enemy's going to try to lie to you. There's going to be extra little activity. The enemy's going to try to stop you. You need to determine right now, revival life and miracles are going to flow through me even when I hit a snag. If they don't receive me, I'm not here. Now, this sounds like out there crazy, but you have to sometimes visit scripture and get the mindset of a king and the kingdom. But I'm not here for their approval. I'm not here to please them. I'm sent on earth as a representative to represent God and to please God. Now, I don't want people to hate me. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I already told you I don't go open air and scream at folks and go crazy. I believe that we ought to walk in love and give them every opportunity to know the kindness of God, because it's the kindness of God that draws men to repentance. But the gospel cannot be compromised, and my light switch must be turned on. My light, you can have a power plant generating all the power in the world piped into the Namsha Grand Hotel, but if someone doesn't go over to the wall and flip that switch, you can have all that power. You can have, man, bills paid, so it's not like an inner city ghetto thing where your power got shut off because you didn't pay your bill, right? You can have all that pumped here, but if someone doesn't go over to the wall or a main switch or whatever and flip that on, it doesn't matter. You can have all the power and authority and come back from a double portion a conference, but if you don't flip the switch... Many Christians walk in untapped potential and untapped giftings because they never flip the switch. When you leave this place, I'm only going to talk just a little while longer. I got to hit just a couple things, but we want to minister over you. And I know you got some home church groups, HC groups. You got to determine right now, I'm flipping the switch on, and it's going to stay on. You ever go to people's house and they tape the switch up because it's like I don't know if it's here, but I know in the United States, sometimes there's a switch that controls all the power outlets in a room. So they don't want you to cut it off because it might be connected to a clock, maybe grandpa's life support system. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. But you tape it up because you don't want folks. That's kind of cool. You guys laughed at that. Sometimes I say stuff thinking you'll laugh. You don't. Sometimes I say stuff I don't know if you'll laugh, and you do. You guys are great. I love you. All right. You know, you got it taped up, right? We need to duct tape up this light switch, and we're not going to cut this thing off. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen. Let me tell you the main ingredient for seeing miracles outside of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the willingness to look foolish. You got to be willing to look like a fool for a second. You know, when the Beatles came to the United States of America, they had funny haircuts. They wore pants, and y'all probably can't see me from there, but their pants was, we used to call them flooding. Their pants would be up here. They had little tight pants and kind of like, you know, their whole look and even their sound was so different. And they were coming over the British wave. I was too young, but I remember looking back and nostalgic that the British wave is coming and they would do all this stuff. You know, the Beatles were willing to look like a fool, if you will, to look out of step with what was currently fashionable to start a movement. And unfortunately, that wasn't a great movement. I'm not just talking about the music. I'm talking about the whole drug and some of the spiritual belief systems that came through their music. But they were willing to look foolish for a moment to launch a movement. I'm convinced that God wants to start a movement, but he needs some people. When I say foolish, I mean in the eyes of the world. But if you get foolish, look at me. Remember this. God chose the category of the foolish, that's the group anointed to shame those things that are wise in the world. The group that's willing to be foolish to the world is the group that earns the anointing that God is going to upstage the wisdom of the world. He says, I've taken those things which are foolish to shame those things as wise. So I feel like, amen, if you want to see miracles, the first thing you got to do is be foolish. All right, let me give you this real quickly, all right? Yeah, 7 minutes here, and I'm going to call my family up. Verse 11, go to Luke 9. Let me read 10 through 11 real quick. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done, and they took them and went aside privately into the deserted place belonging to this city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Say, kingdom of God. And healed those who had need of healing. So here is Jesus. He told them to do what he does. How many of you want to work the works of Jesus? This is what Jesus is doing right here. It says, when the day began to wear down, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitudes away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country, lodge, get provision. We're in a deserted place here. Verse 13, but he said to him, you give them something to eat. Look at your neighbor, say, you give them something to eat. Come on. Turn to the other side, say, you give them something to eat. Come on, you got to do it. Everybody's got to do it. I'm watching. Some people didn't do it. Says, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food from McDonald's and get some fish fillets for these people. No. I'm done. That's the Sean Smith translation. My bad. Let me go back to the New King James. All right. Unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And he did so and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed them, broke it, gave it to the disciples before the multitude. So they all ate, were filled. 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Remember earlier, he told them, don't take nothing with you. Sometimes God will set you up and cause you to feel empty-handed and put you in a position where there's a demand on your life and you don't have the... In that moment, you don't have the personal resource. You don't have the maybe personal charisma. You can't finagle it. You can't, even with your salesmanship skills as polished as some of you, you can't talk your way out of it. And it's in that moment that God, I think, sits back in heaven smiling. He purposely sent you into a situation without the natural resource so you would have to call upon the power and authority he gave you that you're not still sure you got yet. Everybody smile with me. God knows something. He knows as long as we could do it, it's human nature that as long as we could do it, we're going to try to do it. But God will purposely put us in a situation where we're in over our head, so he has to get a resource into us that's also over our head. You guys are with me. He said to him, all right, man, there's 5,000 people. You feed them. And remember, earlier on, he told them, don't even take bread with you. They didn't even have any bread to give the people. Come on, we'll at least have communion. Come on, here you go, brother. You eat here. Eat it slow, girl. Eat it slow. Okay. You know, I mean, they didn't even have bread to do that with. They had to find a little boy in a parallel passage. They found a little boy with a sack lunch, probably going out to the field to feed his dad and brothers. Mama sent the little boy out there. And they said, hey, man, can we borrow your sack lunch? And, man, I don't know what made the kid do it. Maybe he looked at Jesus and thought, I might be part of a miracle. Yeah, you can have my sack lunch. And so they got, you know, 5 loaves, right? A couple fish, you know. And Jesus said, feed them. How can you feed 5,000 folks with 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish? Again, we're not serving them communion. We're trying to get these people full. Feed them. Isn't that what we say sometimes though, we're in the marketplace? How can I reach all these people in my workplace? Some of us that have family members and we go, how can I lead them to the Lord? My husband, my wife, my, you know, whatever. Hey, man, how can I offset this? I know they're doing this other strange spiritual stuff in my workplace. Man, and a coworker is being pulled towards that strange spiritual stuff. How do I get them to know Jesus and I can bring them out to SP? God has put you in a position where you think you're empty-handed. But let me tell you what. God, Jesus, and the disciples had to know this. You have to know this. This is big-time truth. Can I just stop and preface it? Everybody pay attention. This revolutionized my life. Jesus never gathers where he doesn't first scatter. The fact that he asked them to do something impossible meant that he had put authority and power in their hands to do the impossible. In the Old Testament, when the multitude was hungry, manna fell out the sky. But Jesus is saying, you got to move from a manna mentality to a miracle mentality. I dropped the food from the sky before, but now I'm going to multiply it in your hands as you walk in front of every person and reach in your bag to pull out something. I'm stepping on your shoes, bro. That's better your shoes than your feet, right? I'm going to multiply the miracle. Every time you reach in that bag of yours to feed that person that stands in front of you, I'm going to give you the love of Christ. I'm going to give you a word of knowledge. I'm going to give you wisdom that no one will be able to gainsay, no one will be able to resist. I will give you in that point something that will connect with them, even if they do not give the impression that they're hearing you or it's connecting. If you will faithfully stand before them and reach in that bag to feed them, I've blessed what's in your bag. It will multiply and it will be enough in that moment. If you believe that, you will see people come to know the Lord left and right like this house is seen. This is as big as anything I shared with you. Please hear that. I'm emphasizing on purpose. This is as big as anything that I can share with you and give you on the way out. the disciples said, hey, man, Jesus, the people is hungry. Let's let the folks go and let them go down to, you know, the Namsha Grand Hotel and get them a room, man. And Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. It's like they were noticing that there was a need in the people. And the Christians, if you will, the disciples were saying, well, let them go so they can get that need met. And no, God was saying, no, you meet that need. Don't just recommend a good counselor for him. Maybe you need to be that counselor. Now, there are some folks that need professional help. Hello? Amy Winehouse might need some professional help, right? But your coworker could probably use the wisdom that I'm not. That's a little joke, probably a bad joke, but that's all right. All right. He said in verse 13, you give them something to eat. And here's what God is saying again. Use what you have, and even though you don't think it's enough, it will be enough. The command seems so unreasonable because the problem was inadequate resource. But this is what happened. God puts impossible positions and situations in your hand because he puts power and authority in your life. And because he's put power and authority in your life, he can demand that you do the impossible because you have authority and you've got power from God to begin with. So here's a little boy. Jesus blesses it. We're done, you guys. He blesses it. And as Jesus reached down and pulls out, all of a sudden, I believe this was Jesus' plan, and it's your plan in the marketplace. Some of you are going back to work tomorrow. How many of you are going back to work tomorrow? How many of you are going back to work tonight? Okay, only a couple people. Jesus's, I believe, strategy is in doing that, he was forcing them to move from the natural into the supernatural. You got to shift your thinking. You're looking at five loaves, two fish. You say it can't be done. I got to get you to quit thinking just naturally, and I got to get you to begin to think supernaturally. You know the rest of the story. They blessed the bread, and every time they reached in and pulled out something, here's your McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwich, brother. Here's your McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sister. Here it is. And he kept pulling out, and when it was all done, they said, gather up the fragments. 12 baskets full of leftover fragments. Here's a little boy thought, I might get in trouble, man, but this is Jesus. I'm going to let him have my sack lunch. But now my brothers and my dad, you know, they ain't going to be able to get their little snack. And now the poor kid has got, you know, as much fish and bread. God not only took and multiplied so needs were met, they ended with more resource than what they began with. And that is the principle of the kingdom. If you'll step out and just be Jesus to someone tomorrow, you'll let your light shine. You'll grow in your anointing. You'll grow in your authority, and their need will be met. In the natural, the more you use, the more you deplete it. In the kingdom, the more you use, the more you get. And what you don't use can be taken away from you. And it says, and I love that, that the fragments were taken up by them. If I can get someone that will come up to the keyboards, and let me just say this in my last statement. He commanded them to take up the fragments. What does fragments mean? Fragments is the last thing I want to say to you. God was telling the disciples, you need to carry the evidence of this miracle with you. We've had an awesome encounter with God this weekend, and it's not done. We're about to just jump up and do some more ministry. But God is saying, you need to carry the evidence of double portion with you. You're carrying fragments. God has multiplied something and bestowed something on you in this time. You need to carry the evidence of your miracle with you. It's another way of saying you are going to be a walking advertisement of the kingdom lifestyle from this point on. You got fragments. Say, hey, man, let me tell you something, bro. See this bread right here? Dude, you're not going to believe this, man. This little boy came up to us. We have 5,000 people. And I'm sure all the people that got fed, they went around talking too. But the disciples had this that they could show to people, but maybe equally as important, until that bread got rusty and that fish got too smelly for a while anyway, they were able to look at that and it reminded them of what God did that day. You got to bring back to remembrance. I talked about, I'm ending where I began. Honoring God is bringing back to remembrance the times God met you, the miracles. I want you to write down before you go what you think is three significant things God either did in your life or you saw God do this weekend. I want you to write it down, put a date on it, say, double portion, 2008, and I want you to write that down. You don't have to do it now, but please do it. Maybe right before your HC group, write that down, and when next time you feel a little bit discouraged, next time the devil's trying to tell you and get in your ear, God didn't do anything, you revisit that, and you go, nah, devil, look right here, hold up. I'll get emails. Sometimes sometimes, I wouldn't use the word discouraged, but times I'll feel a little extra beat down in ministry. I've got certain cards, certain emails that I printed up, and I got a little file. I don't even know if my family knows this. Little file, and I'll go there and I'll pull those out. I'll save some of the emails in my saved mail on AOL, and I'll look at those and be reminded when the enemy's trying to get me discouraged, like, God, you really are making a difference. You took an inner city fatherless kid, grew up in an alcoholic family, saved him on a college campus, literally from spirit of suicide and killing myself. And Lord, you could do that. And all it is about being obedient. Bow your heads. Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Father. And Lord, we just give you praise right now. If my family could come up or whoever walk up here. Let me say this is a heads bowed. Let me do a quick prayer. My wife is going to share something real quick. And we're just going to minister healing. We're going to pray for the sick. And we want to pray for Genevieve. Is that okay? You want to get it? And we also feel like God's given us some encouraging words for people. That's the best way we like to say it. It is. It's prophecy. We're going to prophesy. But encouraging words gives you the freedom to think, you know, just because that dude flew across the United States, or she did, or he did, or his son or daughter, you still got to test it. You still got to make sure it's edification, exhortation, comfort. It tests the spirit of it. So I like to say encouraging words. That way you feel it's submitted to you and you don't feel like it's forced or anything like that. But I tell you what, I've seen God do some powerful things. If I got a minute, I'll tell you one quick one to raise faith. But let me just pray for you. Jesus, I pray, God, whenever I pray seal, I almost feel like that's like locks it in like a lid. But Lord, I mean more of a protective seal, the thing that God designed to deposit in every single life in this moment. Father, we just declare right now those as, Father, are new, and those that have, Lord, maybe have served the Lord all their life. We all have the same need. We need Jesus. And we need Jesus' help and direction day by day. We need his miracle touch. We need to feel his love. We want to walk in deeper levels of intimacy. We want to be captivated by the extravagant beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray over these right now. I pray, God, you would multiply fish and loaves through our lives. And that's influence. That's ministry. And I pray, God, that you would use us, that the marketplace of Hong Kong and other places that were represented, Singapore, Australia, God, there's so many, Taiwan, so many, China, so many others, Lord, that their ministries and their anointings and, God, their influence and anointings and giftings would be multiplied, and that there would be, Lord, a harvest that would come in as a result of that. And, Father, we come against the lie of the enemy that says what happened there was for there, but now I'm back in my real world and I got to do my thing. Lord, we break that in Jesus' name, and we just declare, God, in Jesus' name, that, Lord, even as the disciples were sent, we are sent. We were given something, whether we felt it or not. And the only way we know we have it is we got to step out and make a demand on that touch of God in our lives. And I believe that there are people that are do it. Father, you have our permission to break our hearts for the lost. You have permission to put that thing in us that, God, it would disturb us if an opportunity to witness passed and no one stood. Because, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of every witness. And there's no condemnation in that. It's quite the opposite. It's an inward compulsion that says, this is the least I could do for a king that spreaded his majestic arms and breathed and said, it is finished, and died on the cross for me. Lord, I pray, give us boldness. No matter who's watching, no matter who's looking, no matter what the cost, give us wisdom. Let us be shrewd as serpent, innocent as doves. We're not going back in our marketplace to lose our job. We're not going back there to be obnoxious. We're going back to be strategic light. Help us to know that. And God, give us those divine appointments in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb?
I had this thought, actually, that the Lord just gave me, and I just wasn't sure if I was going to share it or not, and I felt like this morning I was to share it. I know even Pastor Sam talked about this morning, and Sean, a little bit on the whole mindset thing and God really shifting our minds. And I believe that's literally what's taken place this weekend. But I want to share this story that came to me. Trainers, so if I'm reading this paper, it's because it's a story that I didn't, you know, that I read this. But trainers explain how they shackle young elephants. And what they do is they put these, you know, chains basically around their ankles. And then they put these stakes in the ground. And so it keeps the young elephants at a young age, it trains them to stay in place, literally. And so they're so conditioned to just do that. And so as the elephants get older, you know, they're strong enough literally to, you know, walk and just pull the stake out with one leg. I mean, that's how strong they are. But they're so conditioned in their minds of what took place when they were, you know, young. Of course, they don't realize that, you know. But they're so conditioned. Let me read this. Their conditioning limits their movement, literally, and their mindsets. And eventually the stakes are unattached, but the metal bracelets still remain on their ankles, but they still don't move and they stay in place because they're so conditioned in their minds to stay there. And I believe this is kind of the phrase. I believe that this weekend, literally, God is breaking mindsets and shifting our minds and our thinking and things. But this is the phrase that I got for you. If you want to write this down, actually, it says, don't mindlessly accept restraints on your God-given abilities or your hearing the voice of God. I'll repeat that. Don't mindlessly accept restraints on your God-given abilities or you hearing the voice of God. So I really felt like that was something that God is really shifting in it. You know, as Sean even talked about, you know, putting God in a box, God is literally going to just, you know, blow our whole thinking process, you know, on things in the supernatural. And so anyway, I just want to encourage and challenge you. I believe that that's happened this weekend and you're obviously progressing in that. But for some of us, you know, sometimes it's me thinking old patterns, old habits, old things that come back, you know, and God literally wants to just break that off of us this week. And I believe he has to many, but you know, there's still some, but I believe those words, don't mindlessly accept, the restraints on your God-given abilities or you hearing the voice of God. Amen.
Okay, we're going to start here. I kind of got a quick huddle. We're going to start with just ministering healing, and then from there, just some prophetic words. Let me just say this. I was in Hawaii one time, very young. This would be a defining moment. Woman came to the pastor. I'm in one line. The pastor has another line. We're taking prayer requests or people coming up for hands-on ministry. Woman's pregnant, and she says, I got someone here, and I'm talking to them, but I have the ability to hear multiple conversations. It's probably like sanctified ADD, right? So I'm talking attention deficit disorder. So I'm talking to this person, but I can hear their conversation. The woman says to the pastor, the doctor said, I and my baby are going to die if I have this baby. The baby's not going to live, and if I try to have this baby, I'm not going to live. So the doctor says, I need to abort the baby. I'm sitting here talking to this person, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord rises up in me, that fire. And before I knew what I was saying, it jumped out of my mouth. I pointed at her, and I said, you and your baby will live, with more authority than I'd ever spoke at that point in time. It actually rocked me. The woman looks at me. Her eyes get big. She staggers. She's pregnant. She staggers over to me and collapses in my arms, sobbing. The pastor's looking at me like, boy, you better be right, or you will sell Amway for the rest of your life. I will see to it you're out of ministry. I was so young, I was scared after I gave that word. I flew back to the mainland, and I was scared, like, oh, man, what if I'm wrong? Oh, God, I can't. Lord, what? I said it, but what if I missed it? And I felt like the Lord said to me, if you had not have spoken, she would have missed it. And that changed ministry for me. I went back a year later. She had a healthy baby boy that she named David because it was a promise of God to her. She said there was complications all the way up to birth. But because of that word, she stood on it. She and her baby are completely healthy to this day. We're going to begin just with some words of knowledge. And so, anybody feel like they want to jump in at first? Okay.
Yeah, I actually got last night, but obviously we went in a different direction, which was fine. Someone is kind of, you have pain in your jaw area. I'm not sure if it's your left or right, but just I felt this. Lord, to say jaw. I looked at, you know, jawbone is what I felt. He had just impressed. Is there somebody just battling with just pain in your jaw? Pain in your jaw? Yeah, if that's you, lift your hand. Pain in your jaw? Yeah, the TMJ or just, I just felt, yeah. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? What's that? You weren't here last night? Oh, no, I didn't give it last night. That's why I was. Okay. So the three, is there any more? Pastor Sam, is it you in the back too or no? Oh. Sure. Okay. Is that okay? We're just going to wait for them and we'll pray over each of you. Go ahead and continue to stand. And actually, once you have someone next to you, go ahead and just lay hands on that area in your jaw. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to go ahead and pray then, and when he comes in, we'll pray more. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your word, God, and we thank you that you are the healer, God. You are the great physician, God, and we look to you, God. And Father, we ask right now, Father, in Jesus' name, release your healing virtue, God, upon their jaw, Father, in Jesus' name. Take away any pain, any discomfort, God, the condition of TMJ. We curse it at its root in the name of Jesus. And God, I ask healing virtue right now to literally consume their body, Father, specifically their jaw. No more pain, no more discomfort in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, your word says that we're to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So God, we thank you for your miracle, God. We thank you for this miracle and touching each one, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you and praise you, Father. Release your healing. Release your healing now. In Jesus' name.
I just believe that, and again, it doesn't always happen this way. I just feel like there's a warmth that people that's registering for certain people. There's just a warmth. I just felt that just as we were praying right here. I want to challenge you right now. Just if there was something like you had a pain with your jaw, just begin to move your jaw right now. Sometimes you can activate healing. Jesus told a man with a withered arm, stretch forth your arm. Well, that's his problem. He couldn't stretch it forth, but when he did, he could. Talk to the people right now. What's going on? What are you feeling? If there's still a little pain, pray again. Jesus prayed for a guy that had a blind eye. He prayed for him. He said, I send men looking like trees. And Jesus is like, you don't have 20/20 yet, dude. Let's pray some more. Pray for him again. But it may be something you can't test or you don't know right now. We believe every time someone's hands are laid on, God's doing something. It could be a process. It could be instantaneous. But if they're still saying something's there, now pray more informed. You know where it's at. They gave you a word. Do that again. Come on. Is anybody like that you need to pray for him again? All right, do that. I feel like the Lord gave me a word that there's a female here. You have arthritis in your wrist, and it seems like arthritis is something that you're having more of a problem with, and you're young. You're way too young to have arthritis. Nobody should have it. I think in Jesus' name, obviously the will of the Lord, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you have had arthritis in your wrist, and it seems like there's other parts of your body. You're a female. Who's that female that you've been struggling and have some arthritic issues and arthritic pain in your wrist, and it seems like this other part. There's sharp pains in both wrists, stiffness, inflammation, but it really is arthritic. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Who is the female that have that? Would you just lift your hand right here? Stand up. Wow, come on, both. Come on up here if that's okay. Come on up here. This word came so strong, and let me say something to you. If you're visiting, we did some explanation on this Friday night at SB, but not enough here. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Remember we prayed for people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Last night, that meant a door was open, and now there's this room of gifts that God has stockpiled. There are 9 of them that are described in 1 Corinthians 12. One of them is a word of knowledge where God speaks to you. People in the world think it's clairvoyance, it's being psychic, it's whatever, and that God allows a word of knowledge where it is God's gift to make you aware of what God is doing and information God is disclosing. It's a revelation, and it's coupled with the gift of healing that releases blessing. I know some people are into, what's that, feng shui? Is that what that is? The big holes in buildings and stuff. And if you do that, that will allow. Let me tell you, the blessing of God leaves the residue of heaven, and nothing else will match that. So, Father, right now, well, there's a power of God just coming. Right now, we just declare we curse arthritis right now on the spot. We just declare the pain of the wrist leaves. Healing comes. Healing comes. And we just declare right now to the bones, we just speak right now. Your word says, it's clear, God, we're to forget none of your benefits. Your pardon our iniquities, heals all our diseases. So we just declare right now for their wrists and a healing warmth that would just come. We're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to test these and talk to them and pray. But I'm going to hand it over. Did you have something? Okay, Brandon, you go.
Yesterday I had actually 2 days ago, I had a sympathetic pain in my right ankle. And I felt like that was somebody here that God wanted to heal you. There's been a sharp pain in your right ankle. Is that anybody here? Oh, stand up. Okay, come to the front. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! If I could have 4 guys come up here, 4 men of God come up here, help pray. If you could, let's stretch our hands towards these. Jesus, we claim that you're the healer. God, you're Jehovah Rapha. If you could, hey, lay your hands on their right ankle. Jesus, we believe that you heal. God, we believe, Lord, that any pain or discomfort, God, it has to bow before you. God, we just release life. God, and we release heaven into these ankles. God, we speak to every bone, tendon, fiber, tissue, God, every cell, God, to operate to the perfection that you created it, God. It says, those who fear your name, God, that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. So now, God, we call upon the Son of Righteousness to arise. And we say, healing virtue be released to these ankles. We speak life and we speak strength, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are the healer. God, we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So by Jesus' stripes, God, each one of these men, God, they're made whole. God, we thank you for the healing. God, we pray that it be manifested in the physical. God, what's been done on the cross, God, now be manifested.
Hallelujah. I felt like right here in this air, there's somebody that's been suffering from some like severe headaches, migraine headaches. Right, look, now wait, everybody stop. God told me to walk right over here to this spot and said, somebody near me, again, I'm bragging in the Lord. Don't think I'm bragging on me. God said, stand here and say, somebody near me has been suffering from migraines. This brother right here is right next to me. This is God, somebody. So if you're new or visiting, again, I'm not bringing attention to me. I'm bringing attention to simple obedience. I didn't know who it was. I'll be honest with you. So there's no fanfare in me. It could have been somebody. I don't know. But stand up, bro, right here. If I can get a brother that believes in healing to come over here right now. Somebody that believes in healing wants to be, there you go. Look out. Place your hand lightly on each temple right there. His body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're laying hands on the temple. Oh, you got Godwin too. You got double trouble on the enemy right now. Father, in Jesus' name, God, Lord, I don't know all the science behind a migraine, and I don't have to because I know the great physician. Lord, we pray and we agree right now. We command these migraine headaches that have, I just see pictures of you being taken out, bro. Where literally you're taken out. You can't do what you need to do in that moment. And Lord, we say that stops right now. We just speak in the name of Jesus. Headaches, the swelling, the pinching, anything that would, Lord, the stress build up, any pattern that the enemy has used in the area of darkness to come against my brother. He's not in my brother, but he's tried to come against my brother. We break it. We stop it. We say that pattern is history. And we declare right now the healing of the Lord rests upon it. So Father, as our brothers, go ahead and place your hand. Father, right now, as they're placing their hands on him, your word says these signs will follow them that believe. In Jesus' name, we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right now, this leaves right now. We'll forget none of your benefits, oh God. It's as easy for him to forgive our sins as it is for him to heal our bodies. That's what Jesus said. So he said, proof to you that I could forgive your sins, be made whole. So Lord, we say right now, be made whole in Jesus' name.
I was getting a ringing, ringing sensation in my ear. Yeah, if you've been having a ringing sensation in your ear, I think also it could possibly be an ear infection too. I'm not really sure, but there's been a ringing sensation in your ear. If that's you, please stand.
There's two situations with ears. Somebody has got some sort of ear infection or coming back, or you kind of recurringly get that. Another person had an ear trauma. You had something go off that was a loud noise. So there's at least two people. I felt like, as he had the word, God gave me kind of addition on that. But there's someone else. One is kind of a ear infection of the past, and a second one, ear trauma. A loud sound has caused a difficulty or problem, a ringing in the ear. Those two people, one right here, who's our other one? We've got one other one right now. You need to wave your hand. You're here. This is you. You just got your lotto number called. Collect your healing jackpot right now. Okay, right there. Okay, we get Brandon, praise you. Okay.
All right. Put your hands on their ears. Lord, we thank you, God, that you send forth your word to heal. God, we thank you, God, that you're moved with compassion. God, and you're willing to heal. God, you are willing. So, Lord, we call upon your name. God, we ask that you'd be at work in these ears. Lord, we ask for any ringing sensation to be gone. Lord, we ask for all the discomfort to leave. God, this ear infection, we come against any bacteria, any germ. God, the spirit of life has set us free from the spirit of sin and death. Lord, and we thank you, God, that you're a big God. Lord, you're Jehovah Rapha. Jesus, you are the healer. So we speak life to these ears. God, as these hands are being laid, God, your healing virtue is being released. God, let them begin to feel your healing warmth, God, now. Holy Spirit, be released and be at work.
Hallelujah. For the sake of time, this is what we're going to do. If you need any kind of healing in your body, because we still feel like we've got some prophetic words of encouragement, and we know we got stuff to do, so we got to be time sensitive. You need any kind of healing of any affliction, sickness, illness, or condition in your body, stand up right now. If you need whatever it is, don't dare. I dare you to dare God to believe for whatever that is right now. Whether you were born with it, I think that's congenital, or they were told you will always have it, die of it, that's chronic, or you just got it over the weekend, that might be a cold, 3 C's, whatever it is, we're going to pray and believe. And we're going to begin by praying for Genevieve. If you would stretch your hands towards this precious gift right over here. So parents, come forward. Mom, place your hand on her. You think she'd be okay if I place my hand too? Father, we pray for Genevieve right now. We just speak right now your healing power, your healing virtue on this, your daughter. We speak right now to her development, her brain, God, her body to command. We command her body to line up with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, Lord, that man of God, John G. Lake, quoted the word when he said, the law of the spirit of life sets her free from the law of sin and death. So we pray right now for brain waves and connections and chemicals and fluids. We command every cell, muscle, tissue, fiber, neuron in her body. We command it to receive resurrection power, resurrection life. We pray for an acceleration in her mental capacities, her ability to perform things, her, Lord, ability to logic, all of that. And we speak healing power. And we just declare right now, as we place our hand upon her, your word is true that says these signs will follow them that believe. We'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we speak it. Let the kingdom manifest upon her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. If you need healing in your body, lift your hand up right now if you're one of those ones. Okay, if you're seated, go find somebody right now that has a hand lifted up. Don't put your hand down till someone comes to you. Come on, quickly go to people. One per person, because I think it's going to be about a 50-50 split, right? Go to, might even be more people needed healing. You may have to lay hands on two people. Go for it. Find someone. If no one's found you, you go find them right now. If your hands up, come on, people, stand up. If you believe in healing, go find someone. If no one comes to you in a minute, we'll have you come up front. We'll just bring you right up front. If nobody comes to you, give people a chance to move. If someone already has hands laid on them and you're the second person, go find someone else. That may be your best friend, but someone else needs to be you to be the best instrument of God for them. Okay. Now ask them what it is. What are we believing for? Come on. I believe that we need to pray specifically. James says you have not because you ask not or you ask amiss. It helps to ask. If you want to ask them how long they had it, I know Jesus did it, or if there's anything surrounding it, John Wimber taught on, I always think that's kind of cool if you have a minute and you can pray and ask them. Okay? Now that you find out what it is, if it is appropriate, this is key. If it is appropriate, place your hand in that area right now. Would you do it, Trish? Power of God is on you when you lay hands on your sis right there, okay? And I love what Pastor Sam is doing. You can lay hands on yourself, okay? Now lay hands on them. Now you begin to pray specifically, whatever that is. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the healer. Your word says in Malachi that them that fear your name, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in its wings. Father, we just declare in the name of Jesus, you're the healer. So, Father, we declare, you said if we would serve you, bless our bread, bless our water, take sickness out of our midst. So now you pray specifically. We speak to this part of their body. We speak to their bones, their respiratory system, their digestive tract. We speak to their heart. Speak to their bones. Speak, God, to that area of their body. We command healing to come, sickness to go. We don't ask sickness to leave. We command it to leave. Pain, be rebuked. We speak to their spine right now. Speak to their spine. Speak to their hip. We say let healing come. Lord, where there's been discomfort, those that have had problems with their knees, knee injuries, ankles, those that have problems with their throat, God, right now, let healing power come. Now, Father, Lord, we release the virtue. Now, remember, you've been given authority and power to heal. We spoke on a message that's releasing faith. Now, just release it. You're tapped in. Just release it right now. See the healing virtue flow out of you through your arm into that part of their body right now. In the name of Jesus, we say be made whole right now. Now, right now, any last things God's given you, speak it. If you sense some blockages, speak it. If you sense that you need to pray longer, pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, other thoughts will begin to surface. Hallelujah. We're going to a little bit longer. And then in a moment, we're going to all together, we're going to say on three, be made whole. In just a moment. You guys ready? Take your hand off that person for a second or that spot. And on three, we're going to put it right back on that spot. And we're going to say, be made whole together. There's no gimmick to this. It's just the power of agreement. On three, again, we're going to put our hands back on and we're going to say in unison, be made whole. One, two, three, be made whole. Now, right now, just begin to thank the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for that power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Now, try to do what you couldn't do right now. Come on, move your neck, move your back. Look for healing, though. We're not looking for sickness. We're looking for healing. You look for it. Hallelujah, right now. How many of you would wave and say, I felt God's healing touch? Just wave your hand right now. How many of you would say, look around. Praise God. Look at this. Oh, man. Praise him. All right, go back to your seat if you're able to. If you're out in the power, just stay out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly, because of the sake of time. Bernice, where's your mom at? Mom, very simple for you. Number one, God's smiling on you. And number two, I want you to know I prayed over this thing because I'm a parent and I know how this is one of those things. The word of the Lord came to me, and I mean that. I'm not saying I sense. I feel like you should be very precise with your words. Sometimes you sense something. Sometimes you're getting an impression. Sometimes a word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me for you and says, your other one will come like this one. And that is a word of the Lord. Because I said, God, that's deep because of her daughter in a position she's in. And the Lord says, you got to speak it. I said, well, God, what if I speak it and I miss it? And God again came to me like that story and says, if you don't speak it, she may miss it. So lift your hands. And Bernice, you stand too. That's your sister. You grew up together. Father, the word of the Lord has come. I don't go here unless, and I hope you know this. I would not go. I want to be accountable on this. I would not go there had I not heard God. I'm not a bold dude. And I'm definitely not trying to make a name for myself. Not in this way. Lord, I thank you that I've heard from you. I'm not saying that as an out clause. There's no doubt in my mind. It's done in the Spirit. So, Lord, what's her name? Gloria? Oh, Glory? Gloria. That's only fitting. Lord, we declare Gloria. Glory. Doxa. The weight. The kabod. The glory of God is even in her name. And we declare glory. Gloria will come as Bernice has come. Gloria will walk out of whatever it is that's holding her back. Whatever it is that's been the question, that's been the pain, that's been the disappointment. And we declare Gloria will step into the glory. And we just declare right now in Jesus' name, Satan, you can't have her. We bleed the blood of Jesus over. And we believe as this miracle is taking place in this family, if you have unsaved folks and you're around, I know it's just one prophetic word for them, but let's believe if you would just lift your hand. You got an unsaved relative, someone you're living with, a close relative, lift your hand. Fathers, we're calling out and calling forth and decreeing glorious salvation. We call it forth and declare it. You mention their names right now. You know the names. Just call out their names. We call forth these names of these family members. I got family members too. And we call forth their salvation. You said to through Apostle Paul, the Philippian jailer, you and your household shall be saved. And we claim that over these people in SP and the visitors. And we thank you that Gloria, I'm telling you guys, begin to thank the Lord. Keep being a witness. But it will happen. It will happen in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Marcia, is it on? Marcia, is that your name? Well, while I was praying, I just felt like the Lord highlight you. So I kind of was just glancing through the crowd, and I saw you, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you, he sees the deepest cries of your heart, and he knows what you've been desiring. And so just keep on persevering, and I know waning can be like the most frustrating thing ever. But he knows what you want, and he is going to give that to you. And the time's coming soon, so just keep on fighting. And in the end, you're going to get that and so much more. So, stand up, Marshall. Come on.
Yeah, I just felt like to add to that, just breakthrough. You know, breakthrough's coming. It's almost like, actually, as I'm just stepping, it's almost like you're stepping into it. You're going to begin to kind of just cross that threshold. And it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. Yeah. Come on this side, just in case. Yeah. I'm gonna just pray, and as I'm praying, as you walk across, then we'll do. Yeah. Father, we thank you, God, for Marcia, God. We thank you, Father, for what she's doing. Father, in Jesus' name, breakthrough, God, happens, God, as she crossed over this threshold, Father. Lord, we ask for breakthrough, God. Breakthrough, God, that you would answer the cries of her heart, God, those deep longings, God. Father, in Jesus' name, begin to take her place as she's never been before, God. In the name of Jesus, God, release your presence. God, as deep calls unto deep, let the roars of your waterfall wash over her, God. Wash over her in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Healing, even in her emotions, God. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, you're doing it all, Lord. Thank you, God. You're doing it all, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Will, can you come up here? Yesterday, I got to eat lunch with you and stuff, and was a lot of fun, but I just noticed just the servant's heart you have, and you're just such a servant, man. You offered to buy me my favorite soft drink, and I love you for that. No, I'm joking. No, but no, it really meant a lot, and you even served the food on my plate and stuff, and Jesus rewards a servant. And in Acts 6 here, I'm just going to read a couple verses. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples is multiplying, there arose complaint. Okay, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And they chose a man by the name of Stephen. And a couple verses later, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. I think people miss this in Scripture, but I think the reason you are going to operate in signs and wonders like Stephen did was because as he was serving tables and as you were serving at my table, is because God rewards a serving heart. And I'm not saying, it's like people in the background, servants get overlooked, but as Jesus was the ultimate servant, he walked in the ultimate destiny, ultimate calling. And when you lower yourself, you get exalted up. And it's like you've gone down to go to the top. You know, and other people have tried to go to the top and they think they've made it, but they haven't. You know, it's when you lower yourself, that's when you're really up top. And so I just see you just walking in just what Stephen walked in signs and wonders among the people. So Lord, we release, God, just a fresh fire, a fire. God, I thank you for his heart. God, I pray that you'd use him mightily, God. As Stephen was full of faith and grace, God, I pray so would Will. God, I pray that he would, God, he would operate, God, in a miracle-working power. God, that you would just give him an anointing, God, to walk in unusual miracles. Jesus, we thank you for his heart. Lord, and I thank you, God, that you humbled yourself, God, and as Will humbles himself, God, you're going to exalt him.
Michael Cho, where you at, man? Where you at? Come on, bro. I think I get a word for you every year, bro. Stand up right there. Lift your hands. I just felt like the Lord says this is a season of emergence for you, that there's been some gifts that I'm not saying that they've been submerged, but it's like they've been not called to surface. And just as in that miracle, I think with Elijah, where the axe head was called to the surface, there was a process where that thing began to float and began to rise. And I just feel like God is bringing an edge forth inside of you, an edge that's going to be very effective in the marketplace. I also feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you, and I think you already know it, but some of the best prophetic words are what we already know. The Lord wants you to know you're as called as anyone that accepts a paycheck as a pastor or a love offering as an evangelist. You are called of God. You are set apart at your mama's womb. I just felt like the Lord says, even as a child, that there were unique instances where you knew that you were set apart. And the Lord wants to use you in that place of a marketplace, but even different than you thought. I really believe that you're going to have thriving ministry in the marketplace. And I feel like the Lord is awakening within you, and you're kind of at times struggling like, man, I feel ministry's here and I feel my work is here, and God is saying, I'm going to bring ministry and work together in a way that you've not seen before, and a platform will literally arise in the midst, and your gift mix and the anointing will come, and there's greater authority that you've stepped into from last year to this year. And I believe the only reason why, or many reasons why, grace of God, but it's because you allowed yourself to be sent. And as you've allowed yourself to be sent, that unction for authority and power has increased in your life. So Father, I thank you for Michael. I thank you that, Lord, that the word of God goes forth from him in power. I thank you that is a season where that axe head, a new edge, is being called forth and summoned forth in his spirit and life. And I thank you for multitudes in the marketplace that are going to be impacted by his obedience and his life. And I believe that, Lord, ministry opportunities are going to open up in the marketplace. It may be, I don't know how this works, you may be in a position where you're able to have a Bible study in the midst of a business office. And I'm not saying that that's how it's going to happen, but it could very easily be that there'll be so many people that you've won to the Lord in that place that you may have to have a home church that's really a marketplace church. And you bring these people together and they love the Lord and have a Bible study and break bread. So, Father, I thank you for Michael. I thank you. They're stirring up the giftings and anointing of God. I ask you to bless him in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Thank you, God. Is it, I'm not sure. Oh, is it, what's your name? Morgan. Stand up, Morgan. Why don't you come forward here and I'll have Brandon. I just felt like, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to miss what God was speaking to me actually during worship for you. So if I'm reading this, it's because I don't want to miss, you know, what God has for you. I seen literally this picture over you, like, you know, if one of the, I'm trying to remember who won the screenplay for the contest there. But anyway, the editing and stuff, but it's almost like I seen in this movie, like a picture of you, literally the top of your head, just stuff being just blown off. Like, I mean, a lid just being taken off of your head in a good way. It's a good thing that God was literally just blowing things off. But I felt like a lid over you that was just blowing off. It's as if God is going to blow your mind in a good way. He's going to blow your mind in a good way. And you've asked him for a lot. I mean, it's great to ask the Lord questions. And you've had these questions that it's like, okay, God, when are you going to answer them? You know, and I really felt that. I mean, not that we all don't have questions that sound so generic, but it's as if you've had specific questions that you're wanting him to answer. And I believe God's going to, he's literally in the midst of answering those. And I've got the scripture for you. Hebrews 11:6 says this: he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you have been diligently seeking him. You have been diligently seeking him. And he, it's almost like, he's just literally going to blow your mind in areas. And it's not even going to be how you think it is in a way. It's God is literally going to just show you in ways that totally unexpected. So I feel like it's kind of like a word, just expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. So, Father, I thank you, God, for Morgan, God. And I thank you, God, for his heart. And God, how much he loves and adores you, God. He is a seeker of you, God. And so, Father, your word says, God, that you are a rewarder to those that diligently seek you, God. And so you are going to begin to reward him. You are going to begin to answer, God, questions that he has so sought you on, God. Father, it's going to come so clear, God. But, Father, maybe in not ways that he thinks, God. But, Father, you're going to so blow his mind in a good way, Lord. So, God, I thank you for his life. I thank you for the calling of God on his life. God, he has great destiny all over him, God. Great destiny all over him. So, God, I pray in Jesus' name right now, Father, touch him, God. Touch him, Father. Release in his mind. God, may he hear your voice so clearly, God, that there would be no more question. No more question, Father. And, God, I thank you, Father, for Morgan, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
I got a word for you, so if you could come down here. Okay, cool. You stand right here. All right, Britt. I just got a picture of you. There was like a, you were like a wearing a pair of glasses, but there was just some like kind of some dirt and some, it was just like scuffed up on the glasses, and God was taking it off and you're going to begin to see things. And I had a word over somebody last night, but Ezekiel 3:17, it says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. And God is beginning to show you things in the spirit that nobody else is going to see. God is making you a watchman that you're going to begin to see things, you know. And it's something, I think it's going to, it's a metaphor for other people in here too, that God has given us eyes to see, but we don't really see. You know, and I just really felt like that root is really strong on you, that you're just beginning to see things. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would open up her eyes. God, you've given her eyes to see. God, and you have made her a watchman. So now, God, I pray, God, that she would just be a testimony, God, of what, God, what it means to open up somebody's eyes. Lord, I pray that you would open up her eyes. God, I thank you that you're taking back the glasses, God, and you're giving her new eyes. God, a new set of eyes. God, I pray that she'd begin to see you move. God, she'd begin to see you like she never has before. God, we ask for dreams and visions. God, what's been imparted to me, God, I impart into her. God, and Mom, you should pray for her about dreams and visions.
I felt like that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Yes, God, I pray, Father, in the night hour, Lord. Father, as she lays her head, Father, that you would literally begin to seal instruction into her, God, as it says in your word in Job, God. Seal instruction into her, God, in the night hour, Lord. Begin to give her dreams and visions, God, of you, Father. God, even prophetically, God. Father, she even, God, gets on that keyboard and begins to sing. God, you would begin to give her things prophetically, Lord. But God, that God, even as Brandon prayed, Father, that, God, you would open her eyes literally to the supernatural realm, God. Literally to the supernatural, Father. In Jesus' name, God, increase dreams and visions upon her life, God. Increase it, God. Father, I pray that you would even so give her the interpretation of it, God. Father, and that she would begin to be able to impart that to others, Father. So, God, increase that, Lord, in her life. Increase upon her life in that area, God. So, Father, we thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Also, I see that, too, you're like a door. You're like a gate that you can see people and you can feel mercy and compassion towards them and begin to feel a burden that God wants to birth things in their life. And you'll go over there and you'll pray for them and it will be released in their lives. It's like you're a spiritual version of a midwife. You help people birth the things that God has put inside of them. And I really believe that part of everything that's said, that discerning of spirits and that revelation will allow your prayers and your ministry to be more strategic and more on target. Because it's like the Lord has put a scope on your rifle that when you shoot it, you're going to hit the target. And I really believe that there is also deliverance. I really feel like the Lord's going to use you in some young ladies that have had fear, young ladies that even some instances have been abused, some that have had bad relationships. But you, them being able to come over your house and talk to you and literally seeing the health of your relationship and you being able to minister to them and bless them in ways. So, Father, we just declare. And I just feel like there's a wind of the Spirit that's coming on you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we release that wind, Father, even now. There it is, right there, from the crown of your head, soles of your feet. Let that wind flow right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let me jump in real quick. Godwin, right? I saw you yesterday. The moment I saw you, I saw the word coming out of you with fire. I saw a movement emanating out of you. I saw signs and wonders, but this is what now I believe takes it to another step. I see the multiplication of ministry in your hands. Like when I shared that passage about what you looked at resource and says, well, I've got limited resource, whether it's 5 loaves, 2 fish, whatever it is. But I saw the Lord multiplying the resource and multiplying ministry that every time you and your wife come up here to your wife. She's back here. Every time you guys reached in your hand, reached in the bag, I just saw ministry coming out from you guys. And you carry an authority, both of you, that's very evident. And I know Brandon's probably got some, so you go.
That's the same thing. I just got the phrase, fire from Shanai.
Well, step up, and we want to pray for you. Britt and Brandon, you guys just push your hands. Father, you got a baby on the way. Is that right? Amen. Okay, that's right. All right. Father, you want to make sure of things, right? Go ahead and bless that baby. No, I don't have no baby. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for Brother Godwin and his wife and baby. And Lord, we just declare right now that there is a setting apart that has already taken place, but I believe a new level of setting apart, almost like a commissioning for higher levels of ministry. Lord, I told him yesterday when he came and sat at my table at lunch, before I even knew his name. I said, I just saw a picture of the word of God coming out of you with fire. I saw an apostolic movement issuing forth, and he confirmed it on the spot and said he was involved in YWAM. So I want to let you know that after I had that word. But since that time, I saw even greater of the multiplication of ministry taking place, and the Lord multiplying your resources, that what didn't look like enough shouldn't be enough, will be more than enough, and there'll be leftover fragments of ministry. And God, the fire from Shinai, Lord, the fire from Shinai, Lord, even as what Thomas, is it Thomas the Apostle, was martyred and was in India. Lord, let him carry, let them carry, Father, that DNA of like Thomas, that, Lord, was fiery, that God, maybe at one point people would think of him as the guy that doubted, not knowing that, in fact, he rocked a nation with his obedience. And Lord, I believe for them, it won't be one nation. It will be multiplied nations that they will rock with their obedience. And so, Father, let a fresh impartation from the Son of God hit them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch right now in Jesus' name. Fire. Yes. Yes. Lord's put new ministry in your hands. Healing in your hands, sis. Healing in these hands right there. Healing, anointing in these hands as you lay hands. Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you and we bless you. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Actually, Aaron, why don't you just stay up here? I didn't realize. Yeah, why don't you stay up here? B, if you can come over here. And I mean, I remember you from last year, but I don't necessarily know your, you know, we didn't get a lot of chance to talk, or, you know, I don't know your position, if you have any, I mean, as far as SP or anything. But anyway, I just felt like the Lord was, the word I kept getting was you're a gatherer. You're a gatherer. And you change, literally, you change atmospheres, and it's the peace of God that is so on you. It's like a stability and a strength. And it's like that's a gift from God to have those things. And a lot of times we can look at other people and say, man, they have, you know, all these other, you know, and compare ourselves. But those are such strengths in you. You're a gatherer. You're literally, you bring peace wherever you go. There's such a stability. And I got a picture of actually a kind of an oak tree that is just so strong. You're so rooted and grounded in God that's a strength, and it's so needed in the body of Christ. It really is. And a lot of times, as Sean and I even travel, that's you don't find that a lot. There's such a strength about you, and God so, I mean, just loves and honors you for that. And I just want you to know that's God's going to use those things. He's going to so use those things. So, Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for Aaron. Thank you, God, for your presence on his life, God. The calling that you have on him, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, God. Father, you're so going to use him, God, in ways that, God, he doesn't even understand right now, God. He doesn't even understand. God, as he begins to walk in places, God, he's going to so change atmospheres, God, that people are going to look to him and just not even know why they're so attracted. But God, it's because of you and the presence that he so carries, God. So God, I pray, Father, God, that strength as an oak tree, God, would so, God, be a strength wherever he goes, God, to his family, to those he's around, God, and use him, God, mightily, Father. God, he's going to do great exploits, God. So, God, I thank you for his life, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Trish and Flo, two different people on two different sides, but there's almost the same thing that I got when I looked at you. Trish, stand up. Flo, stand up. Right? Flo, right there? Yep. Come on up here. I saw the Lord giving you each prayer assignments, and I know that you're an intercessor. You've been praying for us, and I know you love the Lord. But I felt like one of the things that both of you are, go ahead and stand right there and lift your hands. Both of you are such compassion people. You have such mercy for people. And blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. But I'm convinced some of the greatest deliverances and healings come out of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the sick. But here's what I felt. I felt like the Lord was going to put both of you on prayer walks. And on your prayer walks, and it's going to be unique times and seasons. I don't know that it's going to be some weekly thing you do every week at this time or nothing like that. I just felt like there are going to be opportunities where you're going to be praying for people in the streets, and the intercessory gift that's been used in the house is going to be used on street corners and out in marketplaces. But I saw you on prayer walks and praying, and a lack of better words, when you were a kid, you played that game hot and cold. And somebody told you, you know, they put something and they blindfolded you and say, you're getting cold, 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 warmer, 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 hot, hot, hot. That's how you're going to feel when you're walking. You're going to know you're being led towards something and turn in a direction that you know will be a prayer assignment, a prayer release. And I really felt like the Lord is, and I've seen this picture sometimes. I saw it on both of you. I saw like God, it's like both of you have tool belts on, but the Lord was upgrading your tools. Like whatever it takes for you to build ministry for the Lord, you've had a tool that it's worn, and it's because that's faithfulness on your part. But God says, now I'm giving you the latest techie tools that are upgraded, that are power tools, that are supernatural tools to build my kingdom. And I really feel like there's an increase of an anointing. In fact, let's just say what it is. It's a double portion that comes upon both of you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we place our hands upon both of them, on three, I just want you to place your hands on them. And, Lord, we just pray for an impartation. One, two, three, right there in Jesus' name. Lord, let there come a release of a new dimension of being in agreement with the Lord in prayer assignments, prayer walks on the streets. And again, you never want to speak something like it would force it to happen. But just see if you don't end up being and leading and having some teams that eventually become like some prayer evangelism teams that will hit the streets, and some guys that God is putting the same thing on. So Father, we thank you for that. Flo, you love to pray. Man, you are so wired, sis, for awesome intercession. It is truly your passion. It is truly your life. And you so faithfully discharge. Anybody that has you praying for them, you're going to touch heaven for them, because you don't throw up a quick little prayer and walk away. You pray through. You're what the old timers call a travailer. You know how to travail. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All right. It's one of those things, you know, you'd want to prophesy over everyone, but no one would get home today. So this is what I like to say. I was in a meeting one time, and they were calling folks out, and I was kind of like, man, God, you know, I want a word, Lord, I want a word. And I felt like the Lord just spoke to me and says, you got it. And I'm like, no, nobody called me out. And he said, you got it. And then I just felt like I was supposed to stop and reflect, and all of a sudden, a thing that had been shared jumped out at me, and God says, this is my word to you. Before we stop, my sister right here in the third row, God is touching you right there. I hope you're not afraid. Can you stand up? Is that okay? You love the Lord, and the Lord just wants to love on you, touch you. I don't know if it's some big elaborate word, but just as I was about to pray for everyone, I just felt that the Lord says, I'm touching her. So close your eyes and lift your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, you're loving her. You're loving her. Lord, this is no reflection on her upbringing, but Lord, I feel like you want to change her picture in her mind of a father, of a heavenly father, and the love that can come from a heavenly father. She could very easily have had a great earthly dad. That is not a statement anyway of her earthly father, but Lord, that you, Father, rise above our earthly models, and that includes our parents. And Father, I pray for that love that brings healing, that brings release, that brings acceptance, and Lord, a love that, Father, she feels, God, that literally she is the apple of her daddy's eye. And Lord, we just declare that right now, and we thank you for that. We thank you. That word is not just for her, it's for some others as well. The Lord is just releasing. It's like, you know, as a kid, my mom, my grandma would rub mentholatum on me when I'd have a cough. It's like a deep heating love rub that God is just rubbing into you right now. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Pastor Sam.